You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So our conversation this afternoon is looking to chat regarding mitigating academic dishonesty in this digital age, and it has become increasingly easier for students to gain information through the digital means, right? Information that they can utilize for their assignments, for their reports, for their work that they need to submit, information that they have not worked for, and they pass it off as their own. How can lecturers, how can educators, how can people regulating these guide them in to be responsible 21st century citizens? That's our conversation. And to help us in this discussion is Mr. Banda, and hopefully we have them on the line. Good afternoon to you, sir, and welcome to the Maranatha Drive.
Good afternoon, Brother Derek. Greetings to everyone listening.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for your time, and appreciating you joining us to discuss, yeah, this quite a pertinent subject right in this day and age.
Yeah, I'm so excited that you picked on this topic, which is very important.
Mm-hmm.
For me, what I want to speak to is especially to those that are in the world of academia, going through academics to improve their professional livelihoods or professional journey is three things that I want to speak to today. In the digital age where we have information readily available, number one, the dynamics have changed in that for those that are lecturers or educators who may be teachers, the era of being the people with the information is gone.
Okay.
So what matters now is who is able to apply this information. But in trying to apply this information, it is required that those that are going through academics are required to generate new knowledge. One of my favorite quotations by Sister White is that every human being that is made in the image of God has powers akin or similar to that of the Creator. In short, we are born to create. So you find that academic dishonesty, which is what we are primarily looking at, using, of course, the greatest tool in this generation, which is now AI, will take different forms. One, plagiarism, which has been there for many years. But what this does is it kills the future. It sacrifices the future, because those who are required to create and generate new knowledge, new thoughts of thinking, those that are required not to just chew or regurgitate theories of others, are running to just getting other people's information and claiming it as their own.
But isn't that education so, in and of itself, though, Brother Banda? Sorry to cut you there, but I mean, education, if you're not a PhD student, you don't matter. Your voice is not what's being looked for. Perhaps I can say, put it in your own words, that's the best. Otherwise, you're supposed to cite. Any information you should bring should be referenced to somebody else. I don't know what the problem is. They're not asking for any new information in the school system.
Referencing is there's nothing wrong with referencing, because one of the things that referencing is more like we're studying history, because studying history is not more about the past, but it's studying about the future. So if we can make a reference to somebody's work, that is good, and that is tells who a good academic student is. But to pick a reference and claim it as your own then becomes a problem.
But they're not claiming the reference. They're claiming the putting together of these people's works, and they cite, they tell them, yo, this I got from here, this I got from here. But the arrangement and the work and the labor behind, because remember, you're supposed to sit in a library and go through pages and pages to find the right information that's needed for this assignment. And you're like, you know what? Why must I waste my time to regurgitate information? Let me just plug it into an AI and voila, it's out. Instead of spending 6-7 hours in a library overnight, I just put it in by prompts, it does its machinings, and then in 2 minutes it's done. I go over it in the next 10 minutes and I submit in the next 20 minutes. I'm done. Because that's what I was going to do anyway, sitting in a library saying, so tell us what is happening with the history of Zambia in the 21st century. They're not looking for my own information.
I like your argument. your argument is speaking to the pros and cons. Let me be clear.
Mm-hmm.
The advent of AI as and a technology at large is not all evil. It's not all bad.
Okay.
I believe that we should not compete with technology, but we should leverage it.
Which is what the students are doing. But apparently, educators are not too impressed.
Pardon?
I was saying, which is what students are doing and educators are not too impressed.
Yes, but students need to think. One, because you have a tool that can do everything for you, mm-hmm. one of the things is statistics are showing that people who don't read much will have something do it for them. They cannot even read and verify the information.
Yeah.
And as a result, they'll have misrepresentations of facts and what should be. So imagine you're a doctor and you just input and say, how do I treat cancer? Okay, without specifics, because any tool also needs to be used according to the rules. So you find that we may have people misdiagnosing or people not tethering their research and not using the tool. So use the AI, use the technology to leverage, to make work easy. But that should not take away the gift that God has given, that we should originate certain things. We should question.
But there are levels, which is my argument.
We want a generation of young people whose wives have not become answers.
Because that's my argument, is it not, Babu Banda, to say, I don't deny that there is a space for thinking, but let them get to that level first, where they need to then provide theses in their master's degrees or their doctorate presentation. And we're not even talking about application of in the field, you know, people such as doctors, like you're saying, when they're diagnosing and so forth. No, not those. We're talking junior undergrad students. We're talking postgrad students, where it's not really what they provide on the table. It's just put this information in your head and they're thinking, what a waste of my time. Surely I can just plump this prompt in an AI and let it regurgitate whatever you're looking for, because that's what you're looking for in the end of the day. It's not really what I have to say to the conversation.
Yes. So for undergrad or just high school students, what is important for them is, number one, they need to verify the source of information. That, for me, is key. You need to be able to tell, to say, not everything that is on the internet is correct. I'll give an example.
Okay.
The using of these tools, if you are studying maybe under the South African curriculum or the British or the American, you find that the way we approach certain information in answering is different, because each line of examining, for example, has its own style and areas of focus on which they can assess it. There's nothing wrong for you to try and learn faster. Like I mentioned, the teacher is no longer the focus. Information is very available. But we should mitigate on how we are using these tools so that we still maintain the integrity and the honesty. Because imagine, Brother Derek, I don't know if you're married.
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm.
You are. Imagine if I said, if your wife on your wedding day read a nice poem or vows, and she just used a tool which generated something flamboyant and did not come from her, I think
I would applaud the effort. No, I will applaud the effort.
Yeah, but you'd applaud the effort.
Yes.
But would you believe, you'd want to hear what her inner self says and not what a machine says.
So if she had read for me Shakespeare, sonnet number what, would I then be happy? Oh, love is not love, that changes. I would be like, wow.
She went in certain ways.
But I would be impressed. Is that now better? Because now I'm like, yo, she went and read from me from the 1800s. No, I think we must be just okay, guys. Let's not catch feelings. Let's be okay. These people went and worked and tried to find this information to please my heart. We move on with life. Unless if you're saying she must then say ChatGPT says. Is that what you're wanting them to say? Andrew, this is what ChatGPT is saying.
Because she needs to reference, say, my husband, Derek, this is coming from me and ChatGPT. to everyone, you're everything. To me, you're perfect. What I'm trying to say is this. I think I'm loving this conversation. Number one, in the current generation, we cannot run away from the advent of technology, especially the AI tools. But in the space of academia, it's important that our people who are bringing about a revolution in Africa, the gift that God has given us, we can now access. If I want to make a bomb, I can get as much information. It's not hidden somewhere.
Yeah.
So it's there to serve a great purpose. But its usage should not allow our learners to shrink in a space where they cannot question things because it's too easy to get. They should still have the why, and their learning should be powered by the why. They should still maintain integrity in the way they use this information by citing. For example, imagine if you wrote a quote and I went and claimed it as mine. Then I lose my integrity. I should be able to acknowledge, say, this I got from Brother Derek.
Yeah.
If I were to propose a paper on how to run a Christian school, of course I should pick from those that have gone before me and have written, and through their experience, I can then create my own philosophy that can inspire the new generation of thinkers in the education space with Christian principles. You get it, huh?
Certainly.
I want to do evangelism or health expos, I'm not going to do it the same way it was done years back because time has moved. The problems, the thinking of people, am I going to hold a crusade in a football place, in a ground? No, I have to go online. Let me give you an example. Before COVID, some people thought media evangelism or streaming was something of the devil.
It's evil, this important thing.
But look what COVID taught us.
Yeah.
Melvi, I think I only knew Melvi. Melvi then is a person that I knew of from South Africa. But we have to embrace the time.
Yeah.
But we should still maintain integrity in the use of these tools. For those that are educators, there are certain ethical principles that we follow, and we tell our learners to ensure that they follow as they use these tools. Remember, technology, we should not compete with it. So if a child needs to get information off a computer, that's fine. They may not read the book. I'll give an example. I'm not a big reader of big books, but I love audio books because they keep me alive.
Okay.
You know? So you embrace the technology, leverage it, but don't compete with it.
Is that profound.
For us to be ethical, 100%. You want to start a farm, information is there. The difference in this generation is the power is with those that can use the information.
That can leverage
and not
it.
Those that can find the information or know the information. What can you do with that information? Those are the people that are going to change and own this world. Those that just know the information, it's as good as nothing.
And I think there was a time where we thought, we are in the information age, and that means that information is power. No. You can possess it, but how do you utilize it? And if you don't know that...
Exactly. You know, that was a big misconception. Information is power. Knowledge is power. But what are you doing with that information in any field, entrepreneurship, even in really, you know about Jesus, but what have you done about that Jesus
knowledge
that you know?
Yeah.
Have you made a bold step? Have you made certain changes in your life? Are you kinder to people? That is what matters now. The information age is here. The only people that matter now are those that are doing something about the information.
And
that is why, remember you said that people that matter have got PhDs, you discover that these days, even papers are losing power. Companies will simply say, who can get the work done?
Who can get the work done? And I think it's very profound, Dala, as you mentioned these things. I think one of the key points you raised is this idea of being able to verify. Now, if you bring knowledge to an empty head, it's not going to be seen as anything valuable, you know. So I think
that's key.
That's where the key is to say that process of doing the work by yourself, searching tediously through the pages, looking for the information, even if it is at regurgitation level where you're an undergrad and all they want is to know that, do you know the information that others have put out there? it does something in you as a person and does something in your mind to learn how to think as other people before you then get given the opportunity to say, okay, fine, you've done telling us what others are saying. Now, tell us, what's your opinion based on what you've heard from them? Then you can have an opportunity to say, I have now used my mind to see where they think, but I'm still seeing a gap in their thought processes. Here's what I then say. But if you've been, you just used to say copy and paste from AI, all the best, my friend.
And that becomes a whole problem. Meaning we're not thinking.
Yeah, we're not.
We are not questioning because information needs to be questioned.
Yeah.
Why is it like this? Why? And I should mention that, especially in the African space, we should not think that. I know we like manual things.
Okay.
Someone should go to the library. Us, because we suffered back then. In a university where there was only two books in a faculty of 300 people, you know?
You must take tens.
You know, so times have moved, we embrace the change. But the change has to work to our advantage. We should act on this information. Yes. We should verify. You know what we need to verify? Let me give an example. With AI, somebody can do a voice replica, even a video of you, Brother Derek, to a point where maybe you've insulted the president or you have done something heinous. If we do not verify the source of that information, we are sacrificing the future. We sacrifice our families, our community.
That's
because we are simply getting things that come without asking.
How did it come
to be? Who, where did this come from? Yeah. So there should be a way of vetting this information that we are receiving. If you're going to start, for example, let me give you this. If you're going to start farming, it's easy. The beautiful thing about AI, I want to plant 3,000 cabbages on an acre piece of land. I put in there, it will give me information from different sources.
Yes, how to get it done, what would be the best tool, and what best cultivar and so forth. Yes, yes.
Exactly. But do you know that I can make a loss if I don't become very specific, especially when it comes to type of soil? I'm in Africa. So with AI, it might give information for someone who is in Japan or someone who's in a cold climate. And if I'm not sharp enough to verify the source of the information or maybe set certain parameters that speak to my environment, to the southern part of Africa, then I'm not using that tool the way it's supposed to be.
It's supposed to be.
Even using AI, you need to learn how to use it.
You definitely do. Well, Saidim Dalla, we'll have to leave you there for today, but quite an important lesson and very poignant points you've shared with us. Truly appreciate that. And I think that's the important part, right? To say when we've received the information, like you were saying, it's then what we do with it that matters. Thank you so much again.
Thank you. God bless.
Thank you. And we are truly appreciative. That's Alda Banda talking to us this afternoon as we try to make sense of these tools that are at our fingertips. And Gutua, it's not so much the tool that's important, it's how you leverage it. It's not so much the information it regurgitates or presents to you. No, it's what you do with that information. I mean, if you're going to tell you how to plant cabbages, but you don't lift a finger to plant, it's not going to help you that you know how to do it and to receive an excellent yield. You will still be a shoddy farmer at the end of the day. So yeah, I think it's very important that we get all this in the right dimensions.
You are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.